Hello and welcome to How to Become a Pro Wrestler 18, I think we're on now. And as I said, that a tile fell off the wall. That is the level of professionalism we have right here. I'm the prestigious one, Joe Hendry, and this is my podcast, How to Become a Pro Wrestler. You know the drill, people. To clarify, this is not a podcast about how to become, you know, the world champion, how to get to the top of the business, because I haven't done that yet. That's the goal that I'm trying to achieve. But what I can tell you about is how you can get started. That's what this podcast is all about. But what we found as we went along, it's not just wrestling that's relevant to. We found that there's actually some real life applications. And actually, to be honest with you, this podcast has become as much about me telling you about how to start pro wrestling, but patterns start to emerge. You realize that getting good at wrestling is similar to getting good at a lot of the things. You know, it's picking up any new skill. I like to believe that this podcast is useful for anyone that's looking to improve themselves in any way, shape, or form, because yes, it's, you know, it might not be wrestling, but the principles are there. And this time, I'm going to talk about a positive attitude, because I'm sure you can tell from the demeanor of the podcasts, I've been in a bit of a slump for the last few weeks. It's been a tough few weeks. It has, mentally. And I'm going to talk about that. You'll maybe notice now I've got a little bit of a spring in my step. Been doing a lot of soul searching, a lot of thinking, and a lot of clarifying my goals and what I want out of life. And really, I've come to some conclusions and I feel better already. And I'm going to tell you why. But first of all, I want to give a shout out to our amazing sponsors. First up, I want to welcome Sam Barber Experience as a sponsor of the podcast. Sam Barber is a wrestler we had on here as a case study. You may remember it. If you haven't listened to that one, go back and check it out. I'll get the episode number for you right now so you can go and listen to it. But he's a really interesting case study because he's someone who's at a different level to myself. He's kind of coming up and he's looking for that next level. So it's good to get, again, myself, who's still in the independence, but kind of looking to take that next step. And then you've got Sam, who's looking to get from, you know, he's getting the odd show in ICW, but he's doing the local shows. He's looking to get to the next level. And he's ticking a lot of the boxes. He's doing a lot of the hard work. And I'm going to tell you about some of the hard work. But go check out, he's episode 14 of How to Become a Pro Wrestler, is when we did the case study. So go check that out. But basically, Sam Barber Experience, and that's his name, which I do like. That's very unique. It's not just Sam Barber, it's Sam Barber Experience. But anyway, he's a trainee from GPWA with 4 years experience under his belt, and he's chasing his big break in wrestling. Right now, he's been training with WXW in Germany to better his craft and, you know, absorb different styles of wrestling. And I take my hat off to anyone that's willing to do that. That's how I got booked for Ring of Honor. I jumped on a plane, I went. And he's done the same thing with WXW. He's invested in himself. And basically his whole life is revolving around investing in pro wrestling. And you know what would be awesome? If you're listening to this, you can identify with that. It's just, if you even just follow him on social media, that would mean the world to him. That would help him kind of navigate his way through the business just a little bit better. If he knew a little bit of support was coming from this podcast as a result of his investment. So I'd really appreciate it if you could all go and follow him. On Twitter and Instagram is at Sam Barber X. So it's SamBarberX. And on Facebook, it's The Sam Barber Experience. If you're unsure of any of that, we'll put it in the description of this, and it's also on the YouTube as well. But yeah, so he's invested in himself in a multitude of ways. But also, I'll tell you about another one. He took a 26-hour bus journey for training, and he's doing anything he can do to get that experience in the business. I took him with me to BWR the other week. I made his debut there, and it was really cool. You know, it was really cool to see kind of, because there is something there. He's got that it factor. It's just building his kind of act, if you will, around that. And kind of helping somebody else out. It's, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not one way. He's invested in our podcast, in our business, but I'm trying to invest a bit of time in helping him as well. And it's kind of reminding me about things I need to do, you know. And again, it was Lewis Gervin that was saying to me, when you become a trainer in the business, and if you teach something to somebody else, it kind of reminds you, oh, maybe I've been neglecting that, and I feel that as well. But if you want to support him directly, go to projectsbx.bigcartel.com. But I would really appreciate it if you could at least follow his socials. That would really let him and advertisers in general know that you're supporting the podcast. The more you do that, the more it helps us drive business forward, and it helps him get to the next point in his career. So check him out. I'd really appreciate that, and watch out for the advert coming up in Free Agent. And also, I want to give a huge shout out to our amazing patrons. I am so grateful every single day. And you know what? It's all the patrons. You know the drill, folks. I mentioned the tier 3 plus ones by name on the podcast, but every single one of you, I'm so grateful for you, because without you, there is just absolutely no way that this content could be happening. It wasn't sustainable, you know? And also, I've just basically I'm going to talk about this in the podcast, but my car just totaled. It just basically, the engine, everything was going wrong with it, and it was just done, basically. And I was able to get back on the road. And part of the reason is because you guys are supporting me with the Patreon, which means I can use that money to support the podcast and get new gear and all that. So the money that I make on the road, I can put towards getting my car sorted out and stuff like that. So knowing that I've got all the kind of gear and the podcast and in the film, and knowing that the Patreon takes care of all that, it keeps the lights on, if you will, and keeps that ultra fast broadband, and you know, gets the guys to the studio and whatnot. I can't put into words how much it means. I really can't. I'm a grateful human being sitting here, and it's awesome. So thank you to all the patrons. I'm going to mention the tier 3 plus by name. I'm talking about James Malley, Ian Callan-Lees, Ian Downey, Tony Madden, Heat312, Gordon Brown, Chris McCulloch, Mark Leslie, Ross Wilson, Adam Sicord, Kirsty Bailey, Barbara Good, Adam Wilson, Jamie Flood, Daniel Betancourt, Ant191, David McCarthy, Kieran Prophet Holmes, Fiona Edge, Clayton Davis, Gunnar, Alan McCann, Brian Smith, Will Ledwith, James Pointer, Jordan Schofield, Laura Baird, Will Ledwith, Mal Callan, Alex Healy, Jennifer Poulton, Joe's Mum, and Ben Wackett. And I realize I mentioned Will Ledwith twice again. There you go, Will. That's an extra one for you. I forgot to take it out, but there you go. But thank you so much to all the Patreon supporters. And if you do want to join the Prestige, it's patreon.com/JoeHendry. We've got some awesome exclusives over there. Okay. One thing I do want to address as well is I know I'm a week behind on this podcast. So tomorrow or the day after, I'm going to be recording another episode for patrons that will go up to catch us up, if you will. Again, just being completely honest and transparent with you, it's been a tough couple of weeks. Been hanging in there, and editing and filming Free Agent has been really intensive, amongst other things that have been going on. And it's been a tough few weeks, but I don't feel great about the fact that I haven't got that extra podcast for the patrons. So I just want you all to know that I'm aware of that and I'm on it. Also, very exciting development. Those of you who have ordered Pops, the golden ones that we're working on just now for the last month's one, they're about to be delivered very soon. They're looking awesome. They needed like, you know, 5 or 6 coats for that gold jacket. So I'm really excited for those to get out. And then the next ones, which will be the Commonwealth ones, will be out very soon after. So you should have, if you're one of our Pop Patreon customers, that's the custom Pops on Patreon, go have a look if you haven't seen them. You'll have basically ones on the way very soon and one shortly after. But yeah, I'm going to catch up with the podcast and get back on it because I'm feeling a lot better now. So I want to talk about something that happened tonight, though, that was a little crazy. I'm really not sure how to react to it, but the reason I want to tell you here is because I posted about it on Twitter and I realized there is my mistake. Twitter is not a good place to express yourself. Basically, what happened was, I won't bore you because it's, sounded like Trump there, I won't bore you, but it was quite a difficult evening, because I don't know if you've heard about it, but in the UK, and most of the listeners are from the UK, but if you're not, in the UK, a lot of right-wing politicians are getting milkshakes thrown at them, which, you know, don't get me wrong, I dislike Tommy Robinson as much as the next guy. When you see that first milkshake land, you're like, hur, Nelson style. But then when it's starting to happen to all the right-wing politicians, I think the reason it concerns me is because that could escalate. You know, what happens if the right wing start throwing milkshakes back and then it escalates and it's just violence between sides? And then it's like, I've always considered myself a left-wing person, but I was finding it difficult to identify with the level at which people were celebrating these milkshakes being thrown, because really it's like, you know, it's difficult for me to speak on because I'm watching everything I say. Because what happened? I put up a tweet and I said basically a Labour MP, who's a left-wing party, if you're not sure, a Labour MP had said, oh, that's another, you know, UKIP candidate who got milkshake for breakfast with like a thumbs up or a, you know, an ace sign or whatever it was. And I just kind of said, you know, as someone who is left-wing, I didn't think it was a good look for a Labour MP to be endorsing the throwing of milkshakes at opposing parties. It just so happens that the person in the photo of the milkshake being thrown had said a lot of really shocking and awful things, which actually I had no idea about. I didn't even know who the person was. I just saw a Labour MP going like, yeah, let's throw milkshakes, and being concerned about how this could escalate. But also, I feel like you're in danger of fueling the fire, you know? So again, there's a tweet from Nicola Sturgeon where she does a big thing about talking about how the best way to do it is to rebel with your voting intentions. You know, vote against this person, ignore this person, and vote against them, because that's what democratic choice is. But I got a lot of people saying some horrible things about me. You know, that I kind of support this person, I'm going to bat for this person, I'm sticking up for this person. And I was really disappointed and disgusted to see that, because I always consider myself an empathetic person. I'm left-leaning. You know, I'm completely against all forms of discrimination. And for people to insinuate that I'm sticking up for someone who is racist, that is, you know, disgusting to me, as racism is disgusting to me. And that's not what was happening at all. I was merely saying, you know, that it's not a good look for the Labour Party to be basically calling for and celebrating milkshakes being thrown at opponents. I knew nothing about the person that was in the picture, but people are now saying that I support this person and that I'm kind of enabling their views, which it's a really difficult one. Again, I feel like I've expressed myself. We all have freedom of expression. If people want to say horrible things about me because of what I've said there, that is their right to do so. You know, but I actually had someone saying, let's throw milkshakes at Joe. Actually, some of the tweets were horrible. One of them was like, oh, I would say let's throw milkshakes at Joe Hendry, but he doesn't get, you know, no one goes to shows that he gets booked on. And it's like, I've kind of explained that I didn't know who the person was. I just saw a Labour MP celebrating milkshakes being thrown at an opposing candidate, who, by the way, I said in the tweet, I completely oppose UKIP's views. I'm disgusted by UKIP's views and policies. You know, I've always been... And so for someone to basically put words in my mouth and, you know, and basically to say that things should be thrown at me, it was just a pretty horrible situation. So that didn't kind of help. But again, it was an error to post about politics, I guess. And it's a shame, because I do want to be involved in the political process, but that stuff like that's kind of making it hard to be, especially on Twitter, because I just can't. I feel like I do have a well-reasoned argument, but people are just really angry. I don't even want to get any further into it. I'm really upset and disappointed, because I feel like I kind of echoed what Nicola Sturgeon was saying. Unfortunately, the picture that I saw from that Labour MP, I didn't know who the individual was. And in future, maybe that's a lesson for me. I need to do my due diligence about who, but then again, do you have to have a PhD on everything that you tweet about? You know, it's a tough one. Again, I know what I'm saying right now will be taken out of context, and it's weird. It's not a nice situation. I just want people to know that what I said, I feel like I've clarified myself in the way that I need to on my Twitter. I feel that my fans know who I am as a person, know what I stand for, and, you know, I do feel that I've really tried to engage in politics in a positive way, but I feel like this is really just a lot. It's really been taken out of context, so I was quite disappointed by that. But thank you to the people who were kind of defending me and stuff and making it clear that I was not endorsing the person who had the milkshake thrown at them or anything like that. I just kind of, I don't think speaking about politics on Twitter is going to be for me. And I understand that. I'm a wrestler. People don't listen to this for political opinions. That's fine. I just think there's a better way to defeat fascism and racism, and I just Yeah. It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. Because, I think I'm going to leave it there. Because I just feel anything I say is going to be taken out of context. But if people choose to be mad at me for saying that, then I accept that. And I respect other people's opinion to disagree with what I'm saying. And what I would say is I would draw the line at asking for bad things to happen to me or, you know, taking what I've said out of context and saying that I've said things that I haven't said. That's basically the gist of it. And I kind of need to vent that, but there we go. Alrighty, let's move on to the purpose of the podcast, which is not how to avoid getting yourself in situations you don't need to be involved in. But it's about how to become a pro wrestler. And this week I'm going to talk about mindset because I've been learning a lot about something called, this is what the episode is going to be on, stoicism. And I'm going to get you the definition for that right now because this word has really changed my whole outlook. And listened to a lot of videos. I got to admit, I don't read much, but I do listen to a lot of I watch a lot of kind of YouTube content on. I know that sounds weird saying that, but I watch YouTube though. But you know, like really well done kind of documentary style YouTube videos. I'm really kind of enjoying that at the moment, but I've watched a lot of stuff on stoicism right now. And basically here it is, the endurance of pain or hardship without the display of feelings and without complaint. It's an ancient Greek school of philosophy founded at Athens by Zeno of Citium. The school taught that virtue, the highest good, is based on knowledge. The wise live in harmony with the divine reason, also identified with fate and providence that governs nature, and are indifferent to the, you know, try this, vicissitudes of fortune and to pleasure and pain. Let me put that into layman's terms for someone like myself to understand, because if I'd have read that, I wouldn't have understood it. But basically what stoicism means is that you only worry about the things that you can control. We've said things to that effect before on the podcast, but we can't worry about the things that we can control, because what is the point? And stoicism, I kind of got onto this through a guy called Tim Ferriss, and I got onto Tim Ferriss because I got his book Tools of the Titans, in which and I would really recommend this book. That's one of the few books I have read. And basically what it does is he's done hundreds of podcasts with successful people, one of them being Triple H, actually, which kind of got me into the book. Because I saw that he was in it, and I was intrigued. And it was an interview I'd never heard or read before. But basically what he does is he has interviews with all these successful people, and he takes the key points as to why he thinks that they've become successful. And there's some really cool stuff in there. And I kind of got into his philosophy of stoicism through that. So basically, again, yeah, what it is it's actually also about the way he describes it is going, okay, so if this were to happen, what is the absolute worst that could happen? And really thinking about it and going, but actually, how bad would that be? And in truth, most of the time, yeah, it would suck, but in the long run, it would probably be okay. And it's almost like if you can kind of take the emotion out of the situation and think about all the outcomes that could possibly happen, and you kind of get to know them and accept them, then when it happens, it isn't kind of this big shock. And if the worst doesn't happen, which it almost never does on rare occasions, but sometimes, you know, most of the time, the worst never happens. You always imagine it's going to be worse than it is. There is another phrase that it changed me. I felt something change me. And I can't remember the exact wording, but it was to the effect that most of our suffering in life is imagined, not actualized. Most of our suffering is imagined and not real. And what that means is you've probably had this. If you're an anxious person like myself, if you're annoyed at somebody or you're angry about something or something's been bothering you or you're afraid of something, you play over the situations in your head over and over and over and over again, thinking about the worst things that could happen. And instead of being at home with them, like we've said, and just accepting them, we think, oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen and that's going to happen. Think of all the stress that that's going to give you. Whereas, and that's a difficult thing, because with stoicism it can be contradictory, because like I've just said, think about the worst that could happen and be at home with it. But at the same time, I found that difficult with stoicism, because I tend to overthink and overthink and overthink, and you will always find that it is just never as bad as you think that it's going to be. because, like you say, most of the suffering is in your own head and it's done. How many times have we fallen out with a friend or had an argument and we imagine how terrible it's going to be when it comes to a head? The anxiety of that, the horror of that, is worse than the actual thing itself. I mean, we've all, think back to like relationships when you're younger in life, and you know, maybe even now, it's like there's kind of those times where it's like you don't know what's going to happen, and it's the agony of not knowing. Whereas it's like if it was just made clear, then you would accept and move on. But it's the not knowing. That's, we've talked about this before. That's the whole basis for horror. We talked about that with the Bray Wyatt thing, because with horror, it's finding, it's the not knowing. You know, that's why we're afraid of the dark. All horror is fear of the unknown. You know, when we were talking about Bray's Firefly Funhouse thing, the reason that's horrifying is because it's finding horror in places it's not supposed to be in. You know, a kid's TV show theme is something that's supposed to be innocent. But if you find horror within that situation, then it's not supposed to be there. And I take you back to the film The Shining, because like the way the music is built is the music builds to a crescendo and nothing happens. And then other times something crazy happens and then the music kicks in, or there's no music and there's silence and it confuses the brain. Because usually those crescendos build us to the point of expectation. And then when nothing happens, it makes us uneasy. It gives us that it gives us a moment of dread. And on the opposite, it's when there's no music and something happens, it's a genuine shock. It's the not knowing. It is the fear of the unknown. And I think that's a lot of where anxiety and indecision comes from. Because we spend so much time worrying about these things that we cannot control. Whereas let's worry about the things that we can control. I know it sounds, it's so much easier said than done. And I'm getting a little better, but it is actually, I have found that mental health is actually a bit like going to the gym. It's something that has to be constantly worked on. And, you know, if you stop working on it, you're going to run into problems. It's something that you have to, I feel you have to exercise and work on each and every day and have goals. Like for me, it's like to not be so anxious, to not be so worrying about things and getting in my own head. And, you know, just I found myself being in a downward slump. Sometimes it's all self-created. Like what bad things have really happened to cause me to be here? Again, most of my suffering is imagined and not real. And I think now that I've come to accept that, it's allowed me to just again accept being an anxious person. That's something that I don't know why, that's just the way I am, and that's the way it is, and I accept that. What can I control about that? I can maybe try and make it a little bit better. I can do X, Y, and Z. But you know, I kind of, to the large degree, just accept that that's who I am, you know. And I do feel a lot better since having done that, you know. I'm just going to check. I will keep up with if there's any podcast questions on the Discord. I think we're up to date with them. Ben was the one that asked the last one. But yeah, that's basically in essence what Stoicism is. And it's really helping me a lot to think about that stuff and to use that approach with wrestling. The other thing that I think you need to do sometimes is something I'm having a bit more success with now, is you need a bit of perspective sometimes. And you need to realize that life, to me, life is equally long and short. Everyone says that, oh, life's short, you know, life's short, do this, do that, do that. We know that. We've heard that 1,000 times. But life is long as well, you know. Think about all the days that we've wasted. And that's the last episode when I was talking about that Gary Vee concept of macro patience, micro impatience, meaning life is short in that you need to get stuff done, but life is long in that don't expect those short-term results immediately after you start doing something. That's the point that I would make with that. But yeah, I'm kind of employing this stuff into my wrestling now. And also what I'm trying to do, we've talked about this before, is see things from other people's perspective. Like, what can I do to improve this other person's situation? And it's really helping me with my outlook on wrestling. And the whole life is long thing, it makes me realize that I'm not in this great, I don't need to be in this great rush to be signed or to be this or to be that. The best thing to do is to be patient and take the time to really refine what I'm doing. And I know what is missing in my act. I know, and I'm going to tell you what it is right now. I don't have enough cool moves. I don't. I need a few more cool moves. I need a few other things in my repertoire to bring out that will just spice things up a little, give a few more match possibilities and things that you can kind of throw in there to lift the excitement level. I kind of realized that I know where my natural strengths are. I really enjoy working on the fly, the promos and stuff like that. But again, I haven't been doubling down on what got me to the table. And what got me to the table was the presentation, i.e. the promos, the entrances, the gold jacket, the blah, 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 blah. I go on and I go on. Just now, again, and I've told you before, Marty Skrull told me the answer. I asked him when I was driving him and the Young Bucks around at What Culture. I said, look, I said, Marty, if you were me, what would be your advice? And he told me the answer, but I didn't want to hear it at the time. He said, you're in danger of being the wrestler that's just in a black trunks. And he explained to me that he's like, I've got the mask, I've got the umbrella, I'm the villain, I do this, I've got these things, and I stick to that, and that's my brand, and that's what I do. Whereas before, again, I've got the suit and tie logo on my trunks. What does that mean? I don't wear a suit and tie. Maybe I need to be wearing a suit and tie again. The promos got me to the table. I think about it, how many promos do I actually do? Is there an excuse for me not doing promos for every match? Not really. I mean, they take a few minutes. But we all know the reason. Because I'm thinking, oh, well, I hope it turns out okay, and blah, 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 blah. And again, you overthink stuff. It's like, Joe, just do it. Just get it done. The Nike phrase, just do it. I forget the guy's name, Shia LaBeouf, just do it. So what I'm doing right now is I'm actually writing all this down. Because one of the issues I have in my life is I have no organization in my life whatsoever. So I'm actually, believe it or not, writing a business plan for what I want to do. Some of it, most of it business, and a few chunks of it are personal. And I think what I will actually do is I'm going to spend the next few weeks writing this, and I'm going to share it with you. I will put it up on the Patreon or Twitter or whatever. Probably the Patreon, to be honest. I think that's out of context. That'll be a bit weird on Twitter. But I think I will put it on the Patreon, and you'll be able to see my business plan. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you exactly what I need to do, because I need to kind of put it out there into the universe to make it happen. So I'm writing a business plan right now, and that business plan includes what my meals will be, what my exercise will be. I'm literally going to write the blueprint for what I'm about to do, and I'm going to let you see it. Now, here's the thing. That is dangerous because, well, if I'm not successful, but I have to bet on myself here. So I'm going to do that, and I guess the cool thing will be, if it does all work out, you'll be able to see exactly what I did and exactly how I did it. And the cool thing about this podcast is I'm going to update you with what I'm doing differently, so you can see from week to week to week the things that are working, the things that are not working, the things that I might have to change, the realizations I'm having, the mistakes I made. Like tonight, like, Joe, just don't talk about politics on Twitter. You can't win. You're going to upset somebody. People follow you because you're a wrestler, not because they want your, you know, immensely insightful political opinion. I get that. I understand. Realize the political landscape, and it's time for me to not do that, and I understand that now. But you know what? We all live and we learn, so that's what's happened today. Oh, okay. So that's us. I've kind of introduced the main topic, if you will, here. So also the next thing for me is I need to get those repetitions in. I need to get right now. What I'm trying to do is I'm going to try and set up an agreement with a training school where I can basically just use the gym when I want to. And I'm going to try and go as often as possible and just get the work done. Because, again, I've spoken about it before. My goodness, the wall has fallen to pieces. Again, for the audio listeners, I have a wall with soundproofing on it, and it is just not sticking to the wall anymore. I'm not going to interrupt the podcast any further to discuss it, but I may react to tiles falling down. If you're watching on YouTube, you know what's going on. Oh my God, more falling down. There you go. Hopefully that's it for a while. Who knows? But yeah, so I just want to thank everyone as well for following this journey, because there's another guy on YouTube, I think it's called Matt Diavella or something like that. I can't remember his exact name, but he's kind of talking about minimalism, and that's something that I'm going to go into on future podcasts as well. And basically what that is really, and again, this, I'm seeing these themes with successful people, and a lot of them are, you get regular people, we're all regular people, but I'm talking really regular people who become successful, rich, if you will, by, you know, our standards. And they've done it by just following very simple practices. And it's like, if you can get a few big wins right, if you can get a few of the big things right and not worry about the other stuff and cut out all the nonsense spending that you don't really need, good things are going to start to happen. That's what minimalism is all about. So I've been following that. But this Matt, I think it's Matt Diavilla. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but I think that's how you pronounce it. But anyway, one thing he was talking about, he did a video and he said, things I wish I knew when I was 20. And obviously I'm not 20, I'm 31 now, but I think some of it applied to me. And one of the things was he said, document more. And I look back on all the amazing things that I got the chance to do. And I was like, you know, it would have been great to just go back and hit a snapshot of how I felt when I'd had my first training session, or after I'd wrestled Kurt Angle, or after I won the British Championship, because these things make you up. These things are who you are. And it's also, again, the more I document, the more that people can use what I've done as a blueprint, hopefully, and, you know, achieve their own success. That's the goal anyway. But yeah, so documenting more, I think, is that really means something to me. And I'm glad that we've got this podcast, so I can kind of, because part of this is a venting process. Again, it really started out because it was just about I felt I could add value, and you know, but now it's become this thing where I feel like everybody listening is like, you've got my back and I've got yours, you know, and it's like, I want you all to be successful, and I want you all to, and again, the thing is, it's really easy to be dishing out advice when everything's going right, but when things just aren't going right, it's really difficult to do that. But I'm really finding strength in the support that I'm getting from everyone, and you know, I'm really grateful for that, and I do have a lot of great things in my life, and I'm really trying to learn to be more thankful for the things that I do have, you know, like my family, my relationship, my dog, you know, just stuff like that. I think part of having balance in the pro wrestling industry, if you'd ever to get into it, there's someone high up in the industry that gave us some advice one time, and it was, you want to be successful in wrestling, find something, don't make wrestling your life, find something outside of wrestling that you're passionate about. And for this particular person, it was football. It was Everton FC. But I always kind of really stuck to that piece of advice, because sometimes it can get too much and you need that escape. So whatever it is, people, if you're following a passion, remember, you need perspective. And all the great insights, whenever I hear, you know, for example, when Chris Jericho talked about his character when he returned in 2008 for that stellar feud with Shawn Michaels over the World Championship, he talked about No Country for Old Men was the inspiration for his bad guy character. Now, you got to remember that, you know, you are obsessed with wrestling. That's why we love it. We want to immerse ourselves in the topic, and you should do that. But you always need to have a view. Again, someone else wise in the business taught me to have that view outside the wrestling bubble as well. So make sure if you get into wrestling, just think everybody's a wrestler. You need to bring that unique thing to wrestling, whatever that is. But you need to find inspiration for whatever that is outside of wrestling. That would be my viewpoint. And you can come at something with a totally different viewpoint. Again, the Bray Wyatt thing is just my favorite reference just now, because again, his reference is like Barney the Dinosaur and kids TV shows. You know, it's, who knows, he might have been watching a program with his kid and going, you know, actually, this is kind of weird, and this show's weird, and I want, you know, this, we could use this. And it's genius. It's absolutely genius, because you can do it within the PG environment. It is one of the most genius things I've seen from WWE in a long time. I'm a huge, you know, supporter of that. I think it's brilliant. And actually, I may have told you guys about this before, but I got the opportunity to meet Bray, and again, he actually had some really insightful and helpful advice for me. You know, I was at a time where I was kind of thinking, like, you know, what do I do? You know, what do I have to do to get a job here? And he's like, relax. He's like, this is not, and this is me doing, when I was doing extra work for WWE, when I was one of the Rosebuds, and he was like, this isn't going to be the thing that gets you signed. Not this time. You just got to make sure you don't make mistakes. This is when they get to know you. This is just building the relationship. So just relax and enjoy it. And he was so right. I'm not going to get hired and become the next world champion because of what I did as a Rosebud, you know? But if I can conduct myself professionally, then it may lead to future opportunities and eventually to the opportunity that may result in that. And I was really thankful for getting that advice, because so many people could have just gone, eh, you know, whatever, who are you type of thing. But the fact they actually took the time to do that, I appreciated that. And again, I judge people on my interactions with them, and that right there is a classy human being. Off topic, I'm going to tell you about another classy human being, and this is, it comes with a, I'm going to pass on the advice that this person gave to me. Goldberg. Goldberg is one of the classiest people I've ever had the privilege of meeting. It was on the Inside the Ropes tour. And I'll tell you what, when I saw him and I met him, I was like, that is exactly how I want to conduct myself. You know, that's who I aspire to be, a person like the way that he conducted himself. I'm going to tell you why. So Kenny, who's a great friend of mine, said to Goldberg, you know, would you mind saying hi to my friend? You know, he's an up-and-coming wrestler. He'd really appreciate some advice. Goldberg's been on tour. He's tired. He's got his family with him. He would have every right to say no. But this is what happened. He says, he first of all, invites me to the backstage area, invites me to the dressing room. And first thing he does is introduces me to his family, to basically accept me into the room. And he took the time to introduce me to his family. And I just thought, that is a classy individual right there. Most people, you know, would just be quick, hey, how's it going? Yeah, you want a picture? All right, cool, see you later, type thing. But Goldberg literally, and I will never, ever forget that. He took the time to introduce me to his family, and then he asked me, you know, where I was in my career, what I was doing, and he said, you know what? He says, I do have a piece of advice for you. He said, and I'm going to pass this on to you if you're becoming a pro wrestler. He said, look, if you, every move in wrestling has been done, right? He's like, every move in wrestling has been done, but whatever you do, put your own spin on it. He was like, all the moves that I did were just these moves, but I changed one thing to make it my own. And that's always stuck in my head. And I actually, in fairness, haven't fully put that into practice yet. But I think when I do, it's really going to make a huge difference. But that really meant something to me. I really carried that forward. And I never forgot that. And it made me realize, you know, hopefully when I get to, you know, if I progress through the industry, that's how I want to conduct myself and behave with other talents. So shout out to Bill Goldberg, a truly classy person. And I have to say, 9 times out of 10, people are great. And you often find, this is the weird thing, people at the absolute highest level, in my experience, tend to be the most cool. Case in point, like Kurt Angle, one of the most helpful people I've ever encountered in my career. Look at Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre as well. Again, someone who didn't need to do anything for me, but invested a whole lot of time into my career to get me better and to, you know, like, again, just I'm going through this phase now where I'm thankful for all the opportunities that I've had. And it's taken some reflection because it's so easy to, cause I'll be honest, I was getting frustrated with some things. You know, I'd kind of had some expectations on how things were going to go. I had a few disappointments, had a few big things fall through, and it's just, oh, it can be tough at times. But I think the real secret, because again, here's the thing, right? It's this podcast is about how to become a pro wrestler, but I really want to give you the heads up that when you first get into wrestling, it's going to be all new and exciting and everything's awesome. And it will get a point where, like anything in life, where you will plateau. And it's like we're working out as well. I've found myself plateaued in the last few weeks and I need to snap out of it. I'm tired as hell, but I'm going to the gym as soon as we're done here. You know why? Because it needs done. It just needs done. You need to snap out of those plateaus. That's what you need to do. But I'm warning you, because when you get into wrestling, when you've been in it for a certain amount of time, you're getting all these opportunities, your first match, it's new, working for your first big company, it's new, getting your first title, it's new, it's new, it's new, it's new. And then what happens when there's no new things for a while? That's when, oh, well, you know, I was used to this. And it, again, it's like, it's that addiction to success and to progress. And it's like, I think I need to learn to be really happy with my life. And again, this is where stoicism comes back in. Stoicism is about finding happiness in your actions and your decisions and not worrying about what doesn't come. Like, so for example, I can't control who offers me a contract, but what I can do is I can control my physique, my promos, my social media. I can control my matches, my fitness level, my professionalism. There's so many things I can control that can put me in good standing. And if I worry about those things, there's no need for me to worry about when this is going to happen or when that's going to happen, because as long as I take care of that stuff, if I can find happiness in knowing that I have done the work, the thing that I can control, then I can be happy in pro wrestling. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I would love to pass on to you people, whether it's wrestling or whether it's whatever endeavor or sport or hobby or whatever it is that you do. That thing is so cliched, but as long as you do your best, you know, your parents say, as long as you do your best, there's world-class athletes that are competing with themselves. They're not competing for the world championship. They're competing with themselves. And that's who the real competition is with. And I need you to realize that as well. As soon as you stop comparing yourself to people, and I'm bad for it as well, I've been doing it, and that's why I'm getting annoyed and frustrated, because, oh, this person gets an opportunity, and I don't get an opportunity, and I'm sounding like a whiny bitch, you know? Forgive the phrase, but I need to snap out of it. And if you're in that space, you need to snap out of it as well. It would be real easy for me in the podcast to go, well, this is what I've done, I'm feeling great, and I'm blah, 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 but I need to be authentic with you and let you know that I'm in a period right now where things are a little uncertain. Not everything's going perfectly. I'm doing my best, and it just doesn't quite feel like enough, and it's tough. That's how I'm feeling right now. And the reason I'm documenting it is because, let's say in a year's time, if I'm flying high, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but hopefully I am, and we can look back on this and go, well, Henry was in this spot where he felt awful, but he managed to get himself out of it, and he managed to do that, and I'm hoping you can find some strength in that. And I want to make it clear that it's not just plain sailing. This business is it's the hardest but most rewarding thing I've ever been involved with in my entire life. You meet the best people but also the worst people. It's the highest highs and the lowest lows. People, I'm just making sure that you know what the hell you're getting yourself into. It is the greatest thing you will ever do, but it is the hardest thing you will ever do. And I'm going to leave you with this, right? Now, I may be stealing this from someone else, but I've never heard it before, so I'm claiming it if not. I kind of been thinking a lot about life, and I always say choose your discomfort to people that I know and people that I care about. I say choose your discomfort, because your entire life you are going to be in discomfort. But it can either be, life is a struggle. It's always going to be a struggle, whether you have nothing or whether you're the most successful person walking the earth. And every person in between, life is a struggle. But do you want the struggle to be on your terms or on somebody else's terms? And what I mean by that is, if you're like in a job that you don't want to be in, you're still struggling to get up in the morning to get there. You don't want to be there, but that struggle is for someone else. You're struggling on someone else's terms. Whereas if you can get yourself to do something that you love to do, you're still struggling, you're still scratching, you're still clawing, but it's on your terms and no one else's. And it's that thing as well. If you struggle that a little bit harder, you'll be that little bit more successful. And let's think about success is above the water and failure is below the water. Either way, you're going to be swimming upstream, gasping for breath the whole time. You're going to be struggling. But do you want to be above the water or do you want to be below the water? Because there's no choice. Sinking is not an option. To just exist in this world is a struggle. But it is worthwhile. It is so worthwhile. If it's on your terms, it is so worthwhile. If you're in a situation you don't want to be in, get yourself out. What's the exit strategy? Never jump ship without a ship to jump to. I've made that mistake in the past. But make sure that you have something to go to. If you want out the situation you're in, set up the exit. That's the priority. Set up the exit and get out of there. Don't waste your life for somebody else. Don't do that. Don't give your energy to someone else. That's for you. You know, for what? Are you doing a job that matters to you, or are you doing it to hit some numbers for somebody else so someone else can take all the credit for your hard work? Or do you want to do something that's worth something to you, that's meaningful for you, something that is going to bring you value, that is going to give you justification for every sacrifice that you've ever made? Watch this video with Jim Carrey when he talks about advice from his dad. His daddy said he was hilarious. He was going to be a comedian and he wanted to be, but he couldn't, because he felt he needed to support the family. So he got that steady job to support the family, thinking that it was the right thing to do. And what happened? Jim Carrey's dad lost the job. So if you can be unsuccessful at something you don't even want to do, then why not take that risk and try and be successful at the thing that you want to do? And here's the key. If you're not passionate about something, unless you just happen to be talented at it, which can happen, chances are you might not be that interested in performing that well. Whereas if it's something that you are truly passionate about, that gives you a reason to get up in the morning, that gives you purpose, chances are you're going to absolutely smash it out the park when the time comes. So, difficult few weeks, but hey, that is life. That is the way that life is, and we accept that, and we embrace that. We embrace the grind. So I want to thank you so much for listening. to everything on my kind of personal stuff at the start and the podcast. I hope you got some value out of it. Thank you so much to our sponsor for this episode, Sam Barber Experience, and thank you to those amazing patrons who are just awesome. You know the drill, people. Patreon.com/Joe Hendry. That's the deal right there. But keep an eye on what I'm doing because we've got some great stuff coming up soon. So thank you so much for the support, people. My fans mean the world to me. Thank you for listening. Again, the fact that you sit here and listen to what I've got to say for 45 plus minutes, that means the world to me. And I am doing my very best to get better at podcasting every single time. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day. I've been the prestigious one, and I shall see you next time.